We all know that it is wrong to accept the I'm all right, Jack attitude, which prevails today. We know that it's wrong to live only for the present, to forget the past and ignore the future, to have instant self-gratification as our only goal. That's why we're here tonight. We know that there is something more, something else, a better way. We know this for the same reason we are attracted to beauty and to nobility, and are repelled by the ugly and the base, regardless of the artificial fashions of our day. We know it because deep inside all of us, in our race soul, there is a source of divine wisdom, of ages-old wisdom, wisdom as old as the universe. That is the wisdom, the truth, which we want to make the basis of our national policy. It is a truth of which most of us have been largely unconscious all our lives, but which now we have an opportunity to understand clearly and precisely. Our truth tells us that no man, nor any race, nor even this planet, exists as an end in itself. The only thing which exists as an end in itself is the whole of which the things I just named are parts. The universe is the physical manifestation of the whole. The whole is continually changing and always will be. It is evolving. That is, it is moving toward ever more complex, ever higher states of existence. The development of life on Earth from non-living matter was one step in this never-ending evolutionary process. The evolution of man-like creatures from more primitive forms of life was another step. The diversification of these creatures into various races and sub-races, and the continued evolution of these races in different parts of the world and at different rates, have been continuations of this process. The entire evolution of life on Earth from its beginning some 3 billion years ago, and in a more general sense, the evolution of the universe over a much longer period before the appearance of life, this is an evolution not only in the sense of yielding more and more highly developed physical forms, but it is also an evolution in consciousness, in the self-consciousness of the whole. From the beginning, the whole, the creator, the self-created, has in fact embodied an upward urge, an urge toward higher and higher degrees of self-consciousness, toward ever more nearly perfect states of self-realization. In man, in our race in particular, this upward urge, this divine spark, has brought us to a new threshold. A threshold as important as that which separated the non-living matter of 3 billion years ago from the living matter into which it evolved. Today's threshold is a threshold in self-consciousness. We stand now on the verge of a full understanding of the fact that we are a manifestation of the Creator, that we are the means and the substance by which the Creator, by which the whole of which we are a part, can continue its self-evolution. When we understand this, when we heed the divine spark within us, then we can once again ascend the upward path that has led us from sub-man to man and can lead us now from man to Superman and beyond. But we cannot do this. We cannot find the path without this consciousness, without this understanding that the responsibility is ours, that we are not the playthings of God, but are ourselves a manifestation of God and can become, must become now, a conscious manifestation. Only in that way can we fulfill our ordained destiny. Let me emphasize again, in different words, what I told you earlier this evening about building a spiritual basis for our political work. The Alliance's long-range approach is necessary, absolutely necessary and unavoidable. The short-range approaches that other patriots are trying and have been trying for many decades now, the thousands of ad hoc approaches, of quick and easy one-issue approaches, whether tax rebellion or bomb-throwing, cannot solve the ultimate problems with which we are faced. They cannot give us back our souls. It may seem ironical that we should be planning to conquer and transform the whole world, that we should be planning for eternity, when no one else has been able to make a successful plan for achieving very much more limited goals, restoring the Constitution, for example, or getting us out of the United Nations, or what have you. But it is the very short-sightedness of those working for these limited goals which has been the cause of their failure. And it is our rooting of our plans in eternity which gives us confidence for their ultimate success, no matter how long it may take us. So I tell you again, our approach is not just a matter of choice. It is necessary. There is no other way but ours. There is only one path. And there is something else we must understand. Our philosophy, our quest for the upward path, is not something we should accept reluctantly because we see it as necessary to the solution of our race problem and our Jewish problem and our communist problem. Something we accept because we can't find an easier approach to these problems. No, if we look at it that way, then we still haven't rid ourselves of the short-sightedness which has been our curse in the past. We must understand that the truth for which we stand transcends all the problems of the present. Finding our way once again to the one true path transcends all questions of economics and politics and ultimately even of race, just as eternity transcends tomorrow. So let's stop putting the cart before the horse, mentally and spiritually. Let's take off our mental blinders. Let's realize that the truth has a value in itself, and that dedication to the truth is a virtue in itself, more so in a world in which falsehood seems to rule. The problems with which we are faced in the world today are serious ones, and they must be solved. But the first and most important task, the task on which all our other problems must eventually depend for their solutions, but also the task which would still be just as important for us to accomplish if all our other problems didn't exist, is the task, the one task, assigned to us by the Creator. That is the task of achieving full consciousness of our oneness with the whole, consciousness that we are a part of the Creator and that our destiny is to achieve that single purpose for which the universe exists, the self-realization of the Creator. Our truth is a very simple truth, but its implications are enormous beyond imagining. To the extent that we understand and accept it, it sets us apart from all the people around us. Our acceptance of this truth marks us as the only adults in a world of children. For implicit in what we believe is our recognition and acceptance of our responsibility for the future of the universe. The fate of everything that will ever be rests in our hands now. That is a terrible and awesome responsibility, a crushing responsibility. If we were only men, we could not bear it. We would have to invent some supernatural being to foist our responsibility onto. But we must and can bear it when we understand that we ourselves embody the divine spark, which is the upward driving urge of the universe. The acceptance of our truth not only burdens us with the responsibility other men have shunned throughout history, it bestows on us a mantle of moral authority which goes along with the responsibility. The moral authority to do whatever is necessary in the carrying out of our responsibility. Furthermore, it is an acceptance of our destiny, an unlimited destiny, a destiny glorious beyond imagination if we truly have the courage of our convictions, if we truly abide by the demands which our truth places upon us. It means that while other men continue to live only for the day, continue to seek only self-gratification, and continue to live lives which are essentially without meaning and which leave no trace behind them when they are over, we are living and working for the sake of eternity, and in so doing, are becoming a part of that eternity. For some, our task may seem too great for us, our responsibility too overwhelming. If they are correct, if we choose to remain children instead of accepting our adulthood, if we continue the short-sighted approaches of the past, then in the long run we will fail utterly, and the enemies of our race will prevail over us, and we and our kind will pass away forever. and all our sacrifices, and all the dreams and sacrifices of our ancestors will have been in vain. Not even a memory of us or our kind will be left when the creative spirit of the universe tries in some other place, at some other time, in some other way, to do what we failed to do. But I do not believe that we will fail, because in working to achieve our purpose, we are finding our way once again to the right and natural path for our people. We are working once again in harmony with the whole. And we have a mighty tradition behind us. Our purpose is the purpose for which the earth was born out of the gas and the dust of the cosmos. The purpose for which the first primitive amphibian crawled out of the sea 300 million years ago and learned to live on the land. The purpose for which the first race of men held themselves apart from the races of submen around them and bred only with their own kind. It is the purpose for which men first captured the lightning from the sky and tamed it and called it fire. The purpose for which our ancestors built the world's first astronomical observatory on a British plain more than 4,000 years ago. It is the purpose for which Jesus the Galilean fought the Jews and died 2,000 years ago. The purpose for which Rembrandt painted and Shakespeare wrote and Newton pondered. Our purpose, the purpose with which we must become obsessed, is the purpose for which the best, the noblest men and women of our race down through the ages have struggled and died, whether they were fully conscious of it or not. The purpose for which they sought beauty and created beauty. The purpose for which they studied the heavens and taught themselves nature's mysteries. The purpose for which they fought the degenerative, the regressive, and the evil forces all around them. The purpose for which, instead of taking the easy path in life, the downward path, they chose the upward path, regardless of the pain and the suffering and the sacrifice this choice entailed. Yes, they did these things, most of them, largely without having a full understanding why. Just as the first amphibian did not understand his purpose when he crawled onto the land. Our purpose is the Creator's purpose. Our path is the path of divine consciousness, the path of the Creator's self-realization. This is the path which is ordained for us because of what we are, because of the spark of divine consciousness in us. And no one else, no other race, can travel this path, our path, for us. We alone must prove whether we are fit to serve the Creator's purpose. And if we are fit, if we once again heed the inner knowledge engraved in our souls by the Creator, if we regain faith in the things we once knew were true without fully understanding why, and if we now also teach ourselves why, then we will once again be on the upward path ordained for us, and our destiny will be Godhood.